book of Hebrews, chapter 8. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask you, Lord, to bless your word today, to touch our lives. May we speak that which is needful, necessary. May we have a better glimpse of thee. May we see the way of the Lord clearly. I pray that you would anoint us with inspiration and unction to speak the word of God. Anoint this congregation to receive the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you a while this afternoon about the tabernacle. About the tabernacle. And this tabernacle was that which the Lord gave Moses to build in the wilderness. And he said, see that thou make all things according to the pattern. God's got a pattern. That's right. He's given us a pattern to go by. And if you don't know what to do, well, go back through the Bible. You can find out what needs to be done. You can see the purpose of you more clearly when you read the Old Testament. Because it is our example, the Bible said, to give us an example. That's what it was there for. That's why it was written for us. That we could see that and see ourselves, and we could know what to do and what not to do. And the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2 said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And verse 9 said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. And the reason for this tabernacle in the wilderness was for the priesthood ministry. Amen. To be manifested, that we might see the heavenly work of God in works and in divine order. Amen. This tabernacle that God gave Moses to build in the wilderness was 150 feet long and 175 feet wide. And it had three compartments. On the inside had seven pieces of furniture inside of it. And on the east side of it, it had a door. And that door was there for the people. It was there for the priests. And we find just at the entering in of this door, there was what they called the brazen altar. This altar was made out of wood, but it was covered with brass. Amen. Covered with brass, and it was used for the sinners outside the tabernacle. that they could come and bring their sacrifice and offer it on that brazen altar, amen, as a burnt offering and a burnt sacrifice. And for the blood of that animal that was killed there, it would make an atonement for their sins. Amen. That was the door right there, you see. And this tabernacle is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. I am the door. And without the door, you couldn't get in the tabernacle. And without the door, we could never get into Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. We could never get into Jesus Christ without the door there. And it was there so that they could get inside this tabernacle. So the altar was there. Now that is the first place where a man stops, is at the altar. Amen. Now you're not going to get inside the glory, and you're not going to see the splendors of the inside of Jesus Christ until you first come to the altar. Amen. There's a lot of folks wanting to join into this, but not born into it. But you don't join in. You get born into this. Hallelujah. You got to come by the door. And if you come by the door, you got to come by the altar. Hallelujah. And that's the place where you got to stop right there and offer up a sacrifice for the sins of that day. Well, we know that Jesus died in our place. He taken my place in your place. But He didn't take away the altar. Amen. Hebrews said, for we have an altar. Hallelujah. It's still there. Still got the altar. I think we'd do more folks good if they'd use it a little more often. Amen. That's right. But the inside of this tabernacle, amen, was not then in that day for the outside world, you see. It was only one tribe that was able to work inside this tabernacle, and that was the Levites, the priesthood. Hallelujah. Glory. Now Jesus Christ died for the sinner. But you can't get inside of Jesus Christ and enjoy the glories and the splendors of Him until sin is taken care of. And then when you are born into this, you are born into it as a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. You are made a priest automatically when you get born again. And then you are eligible to work in the sanctuary of God. You're eligible to worship in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Glory. So this altar was there. So that was number one right there. So if you're going to get anywhere with Jesus, you just as well as to get ready to use the altar. Amen. And those priests in there were oft-time offering up those sacrifices and sometimes same sacrifices for the same sins. Now, let's go on just a little further now inside the tabernacle. We see just inside the door past the altar, there is what they call the laver. And this here was a mirror out of fine polished brass. It was 4 to 5 feet high, and at the bottom of it, it had what they call a wash basin. That's where it held the water. Amen. And they washed their feet. And they washed their hands there. Amen. That was for the priest when they had offered up sacrifices or when they had went outside the tabernacle. They came back inside. They had to come through there and wash. Hallelujah. Amen. They had to come through there and wash. We got a lot of priests today, so-called priests, never does no washing much. Amen. They go out and rub shoulders with the world, get involved in the world and worldly things, different things, and they don't think they ever got to wash. That's what some folks call the sanctifying portion, where you get sanctified. Amen. Come by there, and all you got to do is look in that fine, polished, brass object there, now you can see yourself. You can see what you look like. It's not there to show you how pretty you are, how good looking you are. Amen. If your hair's out of place, amen, whether your tie's straight or not, whether you got one on or whether you don't, it's not there for that. But it's there to show defilement, to show you if you've got blemishes, to show you if you've got spots on you. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God is for today. That's why we preach the Word of God. It's to show people their spots and their shortcomings and their failures and where they have missed it. Brother, where that they can have fellowship in the house of God. Hallelujah. Now you can't hardly fellowship with God's priest if you got spots all over you and blemishes. Hallelujah. And the one thing about it, they use lots of water. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to have a very good church if you don't use a lot of the Word. You've constantly got to be washing, folks, with the washing of the water of the Word of God. Amen. They got to come by and get them feet washed. Sometimes they walk in on some places that's not too good. Sometimes our hands may become involved with things that we need to get them washed. We are dealing with an outside world. We're rubbing shoulders day after day with the outside world. Our ears hear things at times that's not pleasant to the ears. Our eyes see things at times that we don't need to see. So we got to come by the laver and do a little washing up. Amen. Sanctifying ourselves. Hallelujah. Getting ready so that we can work in the priesthood. Hallelujah. In the place where God has put us to worship and to glorify and magnify the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. There was another little cord in there just past this label. But you couldn't get back in there until you come by the altar. And you come by the label. Hallelujah. Now you just didn't get in a big hurry and take off and run through there into God's sanctuary back there in the holy place. There was one beyond the holy place, the holiest of holies. I'm not talking about that here. I'm telling you, you just don't run into God's presence just any way you are. You may sit in the same church, on the same pew, but you don't get in His presence. You don't enjoy His fellowship. Amen. You wonder sometimes why some folks sit in the same church among the same people and they don't do so good while others are doing good. It's because some folks are not letting the Word of God wash them real good. We're not fooling the Holy Ghost. We're not fooling the Holy Ghost now. Amen. So I'm telling you, it's going to take a lot of this year to keep me and you like we need to be. To keep us chaste virgins without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such like. And if you're just wondering about what's right and what's wrong, if you run by the mirror of God's Word, it'll show you that spot. It'll show you those blemishes. It'll show you that, oh, but I don't think this is wrong. Have you run by the mirror and looked in it lately? Amen. God don't want us to be in doubt about what's right and what's wrong. Look in the Word that tells you. Look in the mirror here. It shows you what you look like. Brother, that's what it was there for. Amen. To show them what they look like. Look at yourself. See if you got anything on you. And if they did run by that mirror and run on back in the fellowship hall, God killed them. I'm going to tell you something. When you run by God's Word and you don't wash with it and you don't sanctify yourself with it, you're going to get killed spiritually. You'll die spiritually. Amen. Brother, God's place is a holy place. God's presence is a holy presence. God's sanctuary is a holy sanctuary. And God demands cleanness in His sanctuary. Amen. And they was constantly having to pour water over there in that fine basin. Amen. Where they could look and wash. Look and wash. Hallelujah. Some folks look to this year to see if they're looking good enough or not. But God wants you to look to see if you're looking bad. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, let's go just a little further. We done come by the altar, and we done come by the laver now, and this year's the second, first veil. The Bible spoke about here in Hebrews, the second veil was into the holiest of holies. So here we done got past now the first veil. Let's get in here in the holy place. This place in here was a place where there was three pieces of furniture. There was a candlestick, and there was a little table, maybe about 18 to 2 feet high, and not very much longer. And it held bread there. That little table held bread, just as you went in on your right. Held bread there. And over here, right next to the holiest of holies, there was another little altar there. It was called the golden altar. Hallelujah. Oh, not get too hot that way. Hallelujah. So here we see the candlestick that holds the oil in those little cups and knobs that's on it. And it had seven of those, which was, speaks of perfection there. And then we see the table of shewbread. And then we see the golden altar here. I'm just about to talk about all three of these here. Amen. Together to get them in their place, you see. So first, let's look at this here candlestick. We see it beautiful. We see it standing there. It is made out of nothing but pure gold. Hallelujah. Pure gold, and it holds nothing but pure oil. Pure oil. Amen. You don't put no additives to this. Amen. Just a plain old olive oil. Just squeeze it out. Some of the other things they put spices with, you know. But not this year, because God wants the Holy Ghost to just be the plain Holy Ghost. Amen. In our lives. Brother, He wants the plain Spirit of God to work in our lives. He don't want us to try to spice up the moving of the Spirit of God and the working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He just wants the plain moving of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory. And on this candlestick, those little branches, that was pomegranates and almonds. It not only was able to give light, but it was fruitful in giving that light. Amen. It showed the fruit all the time that it was giving light. Hallelujah. I'm surprised that some folks' just lights are bright and no fruit. Amen. They're talking about all they're doing for Jesus. I brought the light shining, and they don't see no fruit there. Amen. The same candlestick that was a giving light was a giving fruit too. It was showing the fruit on it. Now that's what the light of God is for. It's to show the fruit. It's not only to let you see a light burn, but that light is there not to attract you to the light, but to show you the fruit. To show you the fruit. Jesus just didn't only save you to keep you from going to hell, but that you may bear fruit. And He purged you, He said, that you may bring forth more fruit. And how do we see this fruit? By the light. By the light. Because this department was covered over too. And there was no light inside of that except by this candlestick. That's the only way they can see. Well, that's the only way we can see how to fellowship today is by the light. Amen. Little John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We have fellowship. Amen. The light is to show us fellowship. It's to show us you're right, and that I'm right, and that we're together, and that we're one in Christ Jesus, and we're not divided and mixed up, brother. Brother, the light is for fellowship. It's to show us one another. It's amazing at the light some people has and can't fellowship. Boy, they got the Holy Ghost. They're full of the power of God and they can't fellowship. I tell you, I just can't. He wears a necktie and I don't. We just can't get together. Boy, I'm telling you, that's bright light, isn't it? Hallelujah. There was only one light in the tabernacle. It's amazing there's only one Jesus. And He is the light of us all. We're just like the moon is from the sun. We're only the reflection of the Son of God. Hallelujah. We're only the reflection of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You're not the real light yourself. Amen. You're just reflecting that which is in you. Hallelujah. And brother, I want to tell you, you don't fall out with one another. You don't fall out with God's people. You don't get out of fellowship with God's people. Hallelujah. Because the light is there and it's shining if you want to walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory. That's the reason we got so many little, too many lights. Amen. But I'm talking about the pattern. There's only one Holy Ghost. Paul said, by one Spirit, are we all baptized into the body of Christ? How'd you get in there? I'm thinking there's been a lot of them in there, but they got out. You see, when they worked in this tabernacle, those priests didn't sleep in there and eat in that their spot all the time. Amen. They go and come. But just as sure as they went and come, they had to wash.
Yes, sir.
They had to wash. Some folks think they can just go to church and never wash. Amen. Never pray for the service. Never pray for the camp meeting. Never pray for the evangelist. Furthermore, never pray for themselves. Amen. They don't hardly need anything. But the Lord said, I want to tell you what, when you go back out here in the land, He said, when you come back through that door there, He said, stop at that labor there and see if you got mixed up in down yonder anywhere about anything. If there's anything that's attached to you, He said, look in that mirror there and go to washing it all. Go to washing. Hallelujah. Glory, you wonder sometimes why the preacher preaches so strong? Well, he's just trying to wash you. You know, some things is harder to wash than others. Amen. Some things you can just take a little clear water and rinse it off of your hands. Other things you got to get some good old soap and burn out on it. Some has got some chemicals there that can take away the stains. There's some folks that's went out of here, out of the sanctuary of God that's been saved, and got out yonder, and they really got sore deep. And they think with the same little repentance, we ought to just accept that and put that right back over in fellowship. And never come by the labor. Never come by the labor. Amen. Hey, wait a minute here. Look, you look in that mirror. I got to get over here and worship God. I ain't got time to look in that mirror. Some folks has got so busy and so wrapped up, amen, in their little shout until they don't have time for the Word of God. They don't care about the preaching of the Word of God. They don't care whether the preacher gets to preach or not, just so they get to do their little part and put their little bit in. But brother, the Word of God is number one. Amen. After you pass, the blood of Jesus Christ, it's the Word of God that's next. It's the Word of God that's next. And we got to have the Word of God after the blood of Jesus to wash us again and again. Don't you think that you can get so busy now that God's going to overlook you and let you by? After all, that in there is so holy until if you're not eligible, it'll be better off without you in there than you in there where that's holy and you're unholy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. After all, God's not desperate for any of us. But He is desperate for sanctified vessels. So that's what the light was in there for, was to not just show you something burning, but But rather, hey, do you see this red table? And you know this little table? It wasn't very high, wasn't very long, wasn't very wide, but there was 12 loaves of bread put on that table every Sabbath day. And those loaves of bread, a loaf came from every tribe. Every tribe had to fix a loaf. Some folks say, all I got to do is just come and y'all just pray it down and preach it down and just bless me and I'm just going to be here. You better try to help prepare something. Who prepared it? The people prepared it. Who offered it? Who ate it? The priest ate it. Who broke the bread? The priest broke it. You're to help to prepare it, but the priest is to break it. You ever heard some folks go so far and say, well, I could preach if I wanted to. Well, you couldn't do it. If you think you can, try it. If you got enough brass, try it. You'll find out it don't work. Amen. A lot of them tried it and couldn't do it, and they quit it. The best thing ever happened to them when they quit it. If people could find their place, find what God wanted them to do, and do it and stay with that and quit trying to do what they ain't supposed to do, we could have better fellowship than what we're having. Amen. Hallelujah. Them 12 loaves, there were 6 loaves put on this side of the table and 6 loaves over here. And then on top of those loaves, they were sprinkling frankincense. A little confection of powdered sugar looking substance. And we have a history background of one of those ingredients which came from an Arabian tree. And 2 of those ingredients we've lost history of. God didn't want us to know everything about the divine, did he? But he left enough of the human of us. He left enough of the earthly. He left enough of the ground substance that we could know something about what incense was like. That's the prayers of your life. Amen. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself, hallelujah, making intercession for the saints without groaning. Thank God you think you know how to pray. You haven't got it all. You just got one of the substance. And until God gives the divine inspiration and utterance to know how to pray and supplicate and intercede and seek God, you're just one. You're just one. Glory. I want to talk about this frankincense just a little bit. I want to hurry up. What time is it? This frankincense was sprinkled on that bread when it was laid on that table. And that bread was supposed to sit on that table 7 days. Glory. These priests just didn't run up there and they're grabbing up bread, start slapping it in their mouth and start eating on it. It'd been in the place of fellowship 7 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It don't matter to some folks who comes by. Put them up, let them preach. It don't matter. They may have 2 wives, 3, it don't matter. Let them preach. Let them sing. Hey, what about them loaves? We better watch out. We liable to be putting something on the table that's lost the frankincense. That's lost the sweetness on the bread. You see, this bread was nothing but plain, unleavened bread. It had nothing, no substance in it at all. Just plain bread. There wasn't anything to defile it, to make it spoil. The longer it stayed there, the more durable it was. You just don't run over and just pop a piece off. You better start taking more time for the bread of God. We better start taking more time for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the true bread which came down from heaven. And you don't run in on Jesus Christ and just pick up a bunch of fellowship with him and you start supping with him and he's supping with you. Amen. Glory to God, brother. Sometimes it takes a while to get a piece of that pulled off. I never have understood these quickies. Well, they it looked like they just pop off a piece anytime they wanted to. Amen. They just jump in with Jesus Christ and jump out. Jump in and jump out. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's deceived. Somebody's got mixed up. Hallelujah. Lord, that's a pattern. If you want to know how it's working, that's a pattern. There's something to go by. Put that bread there 7 days. Let it abide in the light of this fellowship. Let it be around the place where the priests are fellowshipping and are walking. Hallelujah. And what I liked about this bread was
that whenever the priest on the seventh day would take them 12 loaves off and put 12 more on, they'd take it over there and they'd begin to eat of that. And while they eat of that bread, they'd take frankincense and take it over to that golden altar where the fire of God had fell from heaven on that altar to burn perpetually. And they'd sprinkle that frankincense on that altar while they eat that bread. Oh, hallelujah. While they eat that bread, let that frankincense burn. You know what that was a sign of? That was a sign that they was eating. That was a sign that they was eating of Christ. They was partaking of His bread. That they was partaking of the fellowship of His bread. And that frankincense, it gave that sweet odors. And that golden altar was right by that holiest of holies. And the fragrance of that frankincense would just go through into that holiest of holies where God's Shekinah glory was and fill that place. Oh, and God knew that His priest was eating. Did you know what? While we worship God, while we preach the Word of God, people ought to worship God a little better. There was a time when we eat the bread, we break the bread, people shout you down. They'd send up a sweet fragrance of their soul in response to that Word of God that was being partaken of. They'd shout you down with it. Amen. And brother, the glory of God filled the place. The hallelujahs was a ringing. The praising of the Lord was a ringing. What's wrong with us? We've either quit eating or we're eating with very irreverent. We're trying to eat Christ without sprinkling the frankincense. We are trying to eat without sending up a sweet Savior of our soul into His very presence. Amen. And brother, I'll tell you what, the wrath of God may fall upon you. God's not pleased. He wants divine order. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier to preach to folks when they're with you. Amen. Hallelujah. While they're with you, while they're shouting, say, well, I don't like that taste. Well, the Lord never asked those Levites, hey, do you like my style of bread? I don't suppose the Lord considered you about the pastor. Hey, do you like that kind? If you don't like that, we'll change in a few days and give you another kind. Brother, His bread was one way. And He said, you eat of it. You partake of it. Hallelujah. And another thing I want you to notice about the frankincense, whenever they come in the afternoons to fill up that candlestick with that oil, they had to sprinkle frankincense on there, on the fire, and let it consume while they was filling up the candlestick. Amen. And glory, I don't hardly see how the glory of God can come down into people's soul and fill them and bless them without them responding to give something back, to send something up. Hallelujah. I can't hardly see people getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost and never giving God no praise and no honor and no worship and no hallelujahs and no glory be to God. Amen. I don't hardly see God filling the temple with people just playing shut mouth. Woo! While the oil was being poured in, said, offer that up. Those two things was the only times now. The bread and the oil was when the Lord wanted to sprinkle that frankincense. When the word is going forth and the Spirit of God is coming down, that's when God wants you to enter into worship and to praise in Him and glorify Him. That was typical of our praise in the Lord of today. Amen. I told you that the Bible said we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We're God's priest. We're supposed to take part in the worship. He said that ye should show forth the praises of Him who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen? Well, I tell you, preacher, I just don't feel like praising the Lord. Well, you're a priest. You're a priest. You've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. We've been walking in the candlestick of His fellowship. Well, we ought to have a praise. Amen. You may not feel like running the aisles and walking the back of the chairs. Amen. But just a praise. The Bible said that is the fruit of thy lips, giving praise unto His name. Our lips should be giving forth a sweet incense, a sweet frankincense. Amen. It should give forth something that God smells it and He's pleased with our soul. Amen. That's been in fellowship with His Word and with His light. Amen. And with the golden altar. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So the candlestick was there to show you where the table was, where the bread was. To show you where the priests were. Amen. Where everybody wasn't getting in everybody's way. You put a bunch of folks in a dark room, everybody be stumbling all over everybody. Amen. God don't want things just a bum fuzzle mess. Amen. That's when He put light in here so we have some guidance, some leadership, some authorities. Amen. Some pastors. Hallelujah. God didn't call deacons and pastors alike. They got just about the same qualification, but they like the authority, but not the qualification. Amen. I'm telling you, leadership is a thing that God wants. And we got to walk in the light to heaven. So here we see this golden altar right over there again, the holiest of holies. And this is where the priests then would come into this holiest, this holy place. And they'd bring that blood from out there off of that altar. And on this golden altar, there was four horns on every corner. And every horn was pointing toward a tribe. You see, the Lord had those tribes set out, three per tribe, three in the north, three in the east, three in the south, and three in the west. Amen. And every tribe, there was a horn that was pointed toward every tribe. And the priest would take that blood and put it on the top of those horns and let it represent every nation around. Amen. Pointing there to every nation, because those nations had brought those animals and had made that sacrifice. And those priests had carried that divine order out. Thank God. Hallelujah. Brother in God, when he seen that blood on the horns of that golden altar, he accepted it. Glory. God accepted that. Hallelujah. And those priests would offer up incense there. And that was for the prayers of the people. They offered up what in turn really meant their prayers. Their prayers. Their prayers. I want to tell you, the priests today are the ones that offer up. You've heard people come out with that statement. Why? I believe God hears sinner folks. You ever heard that old idea people hear? They think, well, God hears sinner folks pray. He hears them repent. When God starts dealing with the priesthood, He deals with them inside of Christ. Inside the body. Not from the outside, but from the inside. Hallelujah. The blood there at the door taken care of from the outside. And after that, it was a priest on the inside that he taken care of. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah, I've heard some sinner folks say, why, God heard me. Said I was in great need of this, that, and that. Well, don't you know God's got enough sense to send rain on the just and the unjust? There's just some things that's due you, because common nature just affords some things for you. But I'm talking about inside of this here tabernacle. Inside of Jesus Christ, brother, it's nothing but blood and fellowship and prayers. Hallelujah. That's what's in there. Amen. Blood and fellowship and prayers. Hallelujah. Glory. Those priests, they'd walk in that holy place day after day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Doing the service of the Lord. Offering up those sacrifices in their place. But the Bible tells me that there was a little room about so square, so wide, so long, and it was called the Holiest of Holies. And it was right next to this here fellowship where God's priests had fellowshiped. And the high priest went in there once a year, just one time a year. One time a year. Well, we dwell in the holy place all the time. But now, we're not the high priest. Don't get me wrong. He's done entered into the heavens. Jesus Christ. He's done entered into the heavens and has sat down. And one piece of furniture you never found in this your tabernacle was a chair. Didn't find a bed in there either. I don't know why some folks won't sleep in the house of God. I know folks get starched, you know. Hallelujah. God's house is not a social place. It was a place where divine business was carried on all the time. And nothing but divine business. It was not a frolic place. No, it wasn't. It wasn't just a social house. But it was a fellowship. And that fellowship was all the time in the light of God. And if our little get-togethers cannot be in the light of God, we don't need them. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about if you're going to name it with Christ. Now, if you want to have your Tupperware parties out yonder, okay, but don't bring more to the house of God. Have them down in the basement of the church or in the sanctuary. Well, they didn't have none in the pattern. Said everything here's got to do with divine worship. I'm going to tell you, when we start using our house of God for so many other things, that's when the sacredness of it is gone. That's when the holiness of it is gone. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what's wrong with them kind of people that's off time pressing for that? They need to come by the altar again. Hallelujah. Some folks need to go back to the altar. I'm talking about folks that profess holiness. Needs to go back to the altar again and get that same sacrifice offered up for some of that same old stuff they've been doing. And then come back by the labor and take a look at yourself. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Only the light of God lit the place up. If it had to went out, that's why God said, don't never let the light go out. Said, because if you do, I can't use artificial light in this place. Brother, when Aaron's two sons tried to offer up strange fire on the altar, they got in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get in trouble. You let the fire of God burn off of the golden altar. When we stop offering incense and frankincense, people say, well, what's the need of praising God? It keeps the fire of God burning on your soul. It keeps the fire of God burning in your mind. It keeps the fire of God burning on your lips and on your tongue. Hallelujah. That's what it's for. Amen. And if you stop praising and worshiping and magnifying God, brother, the fire of God will go out. Amen. I'm not trying to preach to put nobody down. I'm just a preaching. I'm preaching what the pattern was. Hallelujah. We can't have no good services without some good praise the Lord's and hallelujahs. And brother, it's just seasoning to the service. Wasn't it the psalmist David said God inhabits the praise of Israel? He dwells in that. And under this new covenant priesthood of Jesus Christ, he still dwells in that. Amen. We are put together, we are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. But inside that little holiest of holies there, that special place where that second veil was, that only the high priest could go in there. Not without blood, but he had to sprinkle blood on his self, his clean garments. Only those special priesthood Aaron clothes. I'm going to tell you something. We preachers better be careful. There's some qualifications that God has required of us that he didn't maybe just make the specific announcement for some folks. Amen. Amen. And Aaron on that big robe that he wore inside of that holiest of holies had every tribe of Israel engraved, represented. I'm going to tell you something. The reason some folks is not getting in the holiest of holies, they don't want to take nobody's name but theirs. Hallelujah. Amen. They're for self. Bless me, Lord, and my children, and bless mine, and help us to go to heaven. Looks like everybody else is going to go to hell, but help us to get there. I'm going to tell you what. You need to get the people that you're in fellowship with, amen, and take their names on you, amen, and head for the holiest of holies. Now, on this golden altar, the frankincense just represented the whole tribes, everybody. But you see, inside that holiest of holies was what they call the Ark of the Covenant that God told Moses to make. Special wood, overlay it with gold, and put over the mercy seats two cherubims with their wings a-touching tips there. Amen. He said, because I'll come down, amen, from the mercy seat of the cherubims there, and I'll overshadow the mercy seat. And Aaron would sprinkle that blood on himself and wear that special garment in there. Hallelujah. take the blood of those people that had been offered for those nations. He'd take that in there. Oh, and inside of that little Ark of the Covenant there, hallelujah, there was the tables of stones. Amen. Oh, that was the precious word of God. All they had then, that was all the Bible they had then. But oh, the sad thing about it was broken. It was broken. And God said, put it in there. He said, this is what Israel's done. They've broken my covenant. And he said, when I come down, and said, when you put that blood on the seat of that mercy seat there, he said, I'll look on that blood, and I won't look at that broken covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh! Without the blood today, God would be looking at broken covenants. God would be looking at broken hearts. He'd be looking at divided minds. He'd look at divided people. He'd look at a divided church. But oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, he sees the blood. So many times, it seemed like I broke that. God bless you. Oh. See, like when I do good, sometimes the evil was present and looked like I broke that. But when I got to praying, oh, that veil that was rent in twain, when I got to praying, I got in that holiest of holies. I got in that holiest of holies. Hallelujah. And I said, oh, God, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Jesus, you died for me. You shed your blood for me. Oh, over that mercy seat of my life, my soul, the Lord sent mercy. So I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. That's my high priestess way. Jesus goes into the Father and says, Father, I've died for him. It's my blood. It's my blood. It's my blood. It's been put on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that he opened the way that we could go into the holiest of holies and pray and intercede and seek God. Amen. Oh, you see, this holiest of holies wasn't a selfish place. It was for the other man. It was for the other people. I wish we'd get a burden for our people. You remember those times when it seemed like we'd come to church and we were just burdened down. We were troubled about souls. Oh, and we'd pray and seek God until heaven opened up. And the glory of God come down. And souls prayed and saw God. But it seems it's been so long since some folks has been back in there. We like the fellowship place. Oh, camp meetings are wonderful. Thank God for them. We need them. But I'm going to tell you, if somebody don't go into the holiest of holies in our camp meetings, Brother Neil, we are not going to reach them out yonder. We are not going to get those saved out yonder. We may come and shout ourselves. We may come and rejoice ourselves. We may have us a good time, but I want to tell you what. It was for those out yonder that Aaron went in for. Hallelujah. It was for them out yonder. Remember, the holiest of holies is for them out yonder. I believe we can make it just in the fellowship, walking in the light and at the golden altar. But my, what about my good friends? What about my brothers and sisters that's lost in the flesh? What about your church? Hallelujah. What about them that's backslid out of your church? Have you been into the holiest of holies for them lately? It's for them. Write their names on your heart. Get them engraved in your mind. Say, oh, God, this is for such and such. I want you to remember so and so. Lord, save my children. Say, Father, I'll tell you what. When Aaron put that blood on the mercy seat and they performed every duty there, the Shekinah glory of God come down and looked on that mercy seat, on that Ark of the Covenant, and he couldn't see what man had broken then. Amen? And he rolled the reproach back. He took the reproach back. It looks like some's headed for the downward road. Some's got a reproach on them. Some's got disgrace. But if you and I could go into the holiest of holies, I believe that we could get something rolled back off of some of our good folks. Amen, the Lord.